Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this hour of worship and ask that as we continue to worship you, Lord, you would draw us to yourself. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet. On one side it has sermon notes. It's a fill in the blank, but there's ample room there if God speaks to you to write it down so that you have a record of it, so that you can go home this afternoon and when somebody says, how was your weekend, or on Monday morning, you can say, you know, God spoke to me yesterday and he said this to me, and you'll have it recorded so that you will remember it. Not this, not the, yeah, church was good. God said something to me, but I don't recall what it was. On the other side is some scripture for your weekly devotion. I encourage you to take this home and follow along with that during the week. And the answer to the question is, I'm sorry, if you're listening online, I asked a question this morning, and there's also a download with the sermon notes and the devotions. The question I asked this morning was, generally, how long, based on this survey, can a person in a family stand their family through the holiday weekend or holidays? And the answer was 2 hours, 3.5, as long as they're there. I like that answer. 3 hours, 54 minutes. 3 hours and 54 minutes, and then you need a break from your family. Now, you can get a break from your family by going into a different room, going for a walk around the neighborhood. That will work. But the Hotel 6 was who did the survey, and so they said, sign up for a room so you have a place to go to, right? It's a little bit self-serving, that's right. What is one thing, if you had it, can you go to the next screen, Joe, for me? I don't have the clicker. What is one thing, if you had it, whether you're a Jesus follower or a seeker or don't even believe, but that if you had it, go to the next screen, in abundance, it would change your life. It would change your life. And I'm not talking about material possessions or money. In fact, having a lot of either of these might make it more difficult to obtain what it is you really need so that you might change your life. I can safely say that it's something you cannot purchase, barter for, or even take from somebody who might have it in abundance. Some people do not even have a clue that they're missing it, and others who have it may not even realize that they have it. It often takes someone else to recognize that you have little or much of it, and it takes someone else to tell you so that you'll then know. The writer is coming to this very thing we need, but first he puts the fear of God into his Jewish readers, which then put the fear of God into me when I read it. Going back a few verses in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he takes them to a time when God met the Israelites at Mount Sinai and through Moses gave the people the Ten Commandments and the law. God came down on Mount Sinai in a consuming fire, billowing smoke, and the mountains trembled and were shaken. Literally. The sight was so terrifying to Moses that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. I thought of a frightened Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Cowardly Lion experiencing their first encounter with the Wizard of Oz. If you remember the scene, they enter this hall. It's a green building, shaking and trembling. And when they got to the throne, the Wizard of Oz suddenly appears in smoke and flame. I am Oz, the great and powerful. Who are you? You remember that scene? Evidently, to Moses and the Israelites gathered there, they, like Dorothy and her friends, were shaking in God's presence. In fact, so much so that they said to Moses, You go talk to God for us, because they were quaking in their sandals while God was in their presence. And although they were trembling then, it didn't take much time for some of them to eventually simply turn away from God. And God's reaction was not pretty. If you don't desire me, I will desire you no longer. And they were gone. Now the writer of Hebrews warns the Jewish Christians then and us today, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Do you see what I'm talking about? Don't refuse God because it won't end well for you. That is that fear of God that the Hebrew writer is putting into the Jewish Christians. And if you remember, it states in James that God jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. You see, on one hand, God deeply, profoundly desires to be with each of us. And for many people, we just can't wrap that around our head, that God would want to be with us in an ongoing and deepening relationship. And on the other hand, God will warn you when you are straying or are already far off, but not force you to follow Jesus, to which this writer warns his readers not to do. Because he continues, heaven will be the only unshakable thing when Jesus comes again. Therefore, he writes, read it with me, it's up on the screen. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. To those who remain firm in their faith, it states that they will receive or be received into the unshakable kingdom of heaven. Remember, God jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. For God longs for us to be in that kingdom in the end. But again, if you refuse him, God is a consuming fire. So, enough with the scare tactics. The writer of Hebrews lays on his readers to remind them of what is to come. Now, for all the people, if you can go back a screen. Now, for all people, there's a tidbit in there that can change a person, Christian or not. The author writes, in that third line, let us be what? Thankful. Let us be thankful. Now the writer is writing to believers of Jesus, but I believe and note that being thankful can change anyone. Being thankful can change anyone to experience more joy and more satisfaction in life. The one thing, thankfulness, will change a frown into a smile, change the blues into a celebration, change a poor outlook in life to a great outlook. You see, if thankfulness does any one thing well, it is that thankfulness takes your eyes off of me and puts them on someone else or puts them outward. It's not that you don't see the more difficult things in life that you face, you just choose to focus on the things that you can be thankful for. For those who saw the movie Scrooge last night, it is the scene where Bob Cratchit, the night before Christmas, is given 15 shillings by Scrooge, a meager salary from Scrooge, and Bob meets his two youngest children in front of a store that is filled with toys. From a family with nicely wrapped and multiple gifts. Now, I love what the director does here. He pans into the wealthy, and then he goes back to the poor. And so from a family with nicely wrapped and multiple gifts with bows to getting a surprise gift, and it pans over to the Cratchits getting a surprise gift for four for a shilling wrapped in brown paper and a string. He pans to the rich, from a well-to-do person buying a wonderful large basket of fruit, all sorts of fruit, to the Cratchits buying meager pieces of fruit. a man buying several expensive bottles of wine to Bob buying some fruit juice to bring in Christmas Day. They pan to a large turkey outside the meat store and picks up Bob walking outside the store with a small, not very good-looking duck at all. And through each purchase, he chooses to give thanks. He chooses to give thanks for what he can do for his family instead of grumbling for what he cannot do. As a result, he experiences joy and satisfaction. You see, it would have been easy for him or his children to look around at what they could never afford and be down in the mouth about it for the rest of the day. As I stated before, the many people who are well-to-do may struggle greatly because they tend to only see what they don't have. What they don't have. The focus is inward. And when they don't have what the Joneses have, they run out and buy it thinking it will make them happier, which of course it does not. It's one more thing to fix. It's one more thing to maintain. In fact, some of the most unhappy people are people who have the ability to buy whatever they want, whenever they want to buy it. It's the attitude of I made it without any thankfulness being given to the talent that was given to them to earn what they received. And of course, there are many who fall more into the Bob Cratchit style of life, who just as easily complain about what they don't have. In January this year, Career Builders reported that 78% of most workers are living paycheck to paycheck, debt being the primary cause of that. And it is enough to make most people live a lifestyle that makes it more difficult to be thankful, because you seem to be more on the verge of difficulty than on the verge of success. Our focus is too much inward instead of being outward as God designed it to be. In 2008, a young Australian woman, Haley Bartholomew, found that she wasn't enjoying life, described herself as feeling lost, stuck on a treadmill, even depressed. It was almost, she said, inexplicable. She was married to a man she loved and had beautiful children who held her heart. So why was she feeling so down about her life? Haley sought the counsel of a nun who advised her to spend time each day reflecting on something for which she could be grateful for. Haley began a project called 365 Grateful. Every day she took a photograph of something for which she was grateful or thankful for. And it changed her life. For it allowed her to see things that she had never noticed. Her focus became more outward instead of inward. Haley had always thought of her husband as unromantic. One day she took a picture of him serving up dinner, the thing that she was grateful for that day. She noticed for the first time that the largest portion of pie was placed on her plate. She realized that the largest portion was always placed on her plate, and that was one small but profound way her husband showed her that he cared. Haley had found mothering a boring job. But as she took photos of her children, holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring, she discovered how much joy and wonder there was in her world. Through the art of gratitude, Haley found herself lifted up and out of her rut, and able to celebrate life once again. She then even went further and developed a website, 365grateful.com, to help others discover what a thankful outlook can do for you. It's the idea that in order to live a life of gratitude, one must learn to look for the areas in their life where they can find thankfulness. Sure, it's easy to find times where one is unsatisfied with life. It happens all the time. It's an easy thing to do. Being a family member, a spouse, a children, or a job, there's always something to complain about. And when we choose to live into an unsatisfaction type of attitude, then I believe we will tend to see colors of gray in life. missing out on the beauty of what is right around us. But when we choose to live into a life of thankfulness, of gratitude, then I believe we will see the bright colors, the brilliant beauty around us that we were meant to see. Not just in complex things, but in the simplicity of everyday life, which in turn brings us joy and satisfaction. Philip Yancey reminded me this week of Paul Brand, born in 1914. Brand grew up in India, where his parents were missionaries, and at the age of 9, he was sent to a boarding school in England. 5 years later, while a 14-year-old student there, he received a telegram informing him that his beloved father had died of Blackwater fever. Brand cherished fond memories of his father, a man who had great love for people and a great love for the natural world around him. Again, a man who was outwardly focused. A short time after he received the news of his father's death, Paul received a letter from his father. It had been posted prior to his death, but took time to reach Brand as it came by ship. The words impacted deeply upon the young son. Paul's father described the hills around their home and then finished with these words. Go to the next screen. Don't go to the next screen. God means us to delight in the world. God means us to delight in His world. It isn't necessary to know botany or zoology or biology in order to enjoy the manifold life of nature. And then he wrote these words. Next screen. Just observe. And remember. And compare. Read the rest with me. And be always looking to God with thankfulness and worship for having placed you in such a delightful corner of the universe as the planet Earth. I love what the dad tells his son. As you observe, be always looking to God with thankfulness and worship. As though he just read Hebrews 12:28. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. It seems that both Haley and Paul discovered, and we note a key of being thankful, is becoming more outward focused. So as Haley discovered and Paul Brand's father and the writer of Hebrew reminds us, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire who longs for you. When we are in awe of the things around us, we tend to be in awe of the one who put us here on this little corner of the universe, who gave us these things so that we can be grateful, so that we can be thankful. And the writer of Hebrew goes on to give us ways in which we can live our lives of thankfulness. And as I looked at them, each of these acts forces us to be other-centered. You look at those bullet points, to keep on loving one another. As brothers and sisters, the second bullet point, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. If anything takes energy, it's showing hospitality, and that energy could just as well be used to grumble and complain, can't it? But what if we used it to be hospitable to others? Verse 2 of chapter 13 goes on to say, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting to heaven and there stands this angel with a smile on his face and you recognize him as that stranger you once showed hospitality to? The third bullet point, continue to remember those in prison and those who are mistreated. With the caveat, as if you were with them in prison or you too suffered with mistreatment. This is a hard one, right? They deserve to be in prison. And God says they deserve to be redeemed. The fourth bullet point, honor your marriage and your spouse. Give them the larger portion. Honey, the larger portion of pie. The fifth bullet point, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. Be content with what you have. When you can find contentment, you will find that you are looking outward more so than you are looking inward. And in Hebrews 13:15, we didn't read it this morning, it just says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Do that. Allow God to speak through you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your word and for all that it gives to us, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would continue to reassure us of your presence. For it does say, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that enough is for us to be people of thanks. So God, we ask for your presence again more and more in our life, that our eyes may be less and less on us and more on you. That the fruit of our praise, the fruit of our lips, would openly profess you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.